The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, one to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, reading and rereading Isaiah 24 and 25 this week, as I was dealing with this first reading, I was struck at how much it sounds like the apocalypse. I mean, it really is obviously one of the source documents. It foretells a day when the Lord strips the world bare, and he purifies the land of all the arrogant who reject him. We were meditating on the Magnificat earlier, and it's the same theme, that turning things upside down. God brings judgment on human kings, and also those hidden spiritual powers which rebel against him. And I'll get into more of that later. But it's clearly in the Bible, there's these powers that work behind the scenes, which are the real enemies of God. Isaiah 25 contrasts two cities. One, the city of chaos and its fate. The other, the city of God. The Lord will be a refuge for the poor and needy, while fierce and cruel tyrants, whom Isaiah compares to blistering heat or a raging thunderstorm, will be subdued. In the New Age, which, by the way, doesn't sound like the heaven I was taught to believe in. I mean, they're eating grapes and sitting under trees here. In the New Age, the Lord will provide for all people who seek him. And it's important to note it's all people, not just the Jews. Yahweh will dwell among them. And that's exactly how the book of Revelation ends. That God will be its light in the city. So this judgment imagery, where God dwells among us, defeats death and wipes away every tear, is what's also behind the parable today. The one thing I can never keep in my head, and I've been doing this for 20 years, is a shame culture is different from ours. Now, I had a wedding last weekend, and the bride got a bunch of texts from people that we're not coming. And it was obvious that she was kind of hurt and more than a little frustrated. She said, "You don't just send someone a text and say, 'I'm not showing up.'" For us, I mean, it's just wrong. But in their culture, a shame culture, to have the king invite you and you blow him off, we cannot imagine how inappropriate that is. Because our politics is so base. We have no respect for the people who lead us at all. And they have no respect for themselves sometimes, right? I mean, we don't have a culture where we want to get rid of any hierarchy. In this hierarchical society, we don't go, "They did what?" We don't do that, which means we don't understand the parable at all. Jesus' hearers, when he said, the king said it's ready, because they didn't just spring it on you. They gave you warnings and pre-warnings. And they just said, nah. Now, 3 years ago, I went through this and showed you how actually this is two parables that have been combined. I'm not doing that again. But like the whole war part is not the original parable. That's a different parable that's kind of been crammed together. But the point is, it's an illustration for us of the response of Israel, the response of the world to God's call in general and Jesus in particular. So the images of the war refer to an actual city. Anyone want to take a guess what it is? Jerusalem, correct, for $100. It's Jerusalem. And when is Jerusalem going to be destroyed? In 70 AD, the Romans will rip every stone and lay it bare. So this parable, which is probably written after that, and has that in mind, it remembers Jesus' warning, and now it builds on that in the parable. So Matthew writes about what takes place to make sure we understand the repercussions. The truth of the matter is too often we fill our lives with nonsense. Nonsense. And we allow the temporal to overshadow the eternal. The things we worry most about. And I've said it before. You wouldn't go out of the house if your hair was a mess, but you would come to church without praying first. I mean, we do that all the time. We are not prepared for anything, but man, we're going to look good. And we're going to clean the house for weeks if we have guests. But we never clean our souls through prayer. None of us do. I don't do it. You don't do it. None of us do. We are so filled with nonsense. We cling to things that are passing away. And that's the purpose of all this teaching here. We're clinging to things that pass away. And by doing that, unknowingly, we're clinging to death. What are you holding on to? The stuff you hold on to that's passing away is death. Understand? It's not just an analogy. It's not just an image, it's actual reality. We cling to the stuff that is not eternal life. For everything in this world is tainted by sin and death. Everything. Starting with me and you. Isaiah and Jesus provide a terrifying alternative to a response in faith. Both of them are saying it is not wise to choose badly. But the message of salvation, the message of salvation cannot get lost. We can't focus on what we're doing wrong. We got to focus on what God's offering, which is beautiful and wonderful and abundance. A mountain banquet of rich food and wine. A wedding banquet. We celebrate the mercy and love of God. That's what we celebrate, the mercy and love of God. It's not what he's going to do to us. It's what we do to ourselves. And that's the most important thing to understand about judgment. What God is saying is, you're holding on to a rock and you're about to jump into a volcano. If you do that, you're going to burn up. Oh, why are you judging me? No, I'm really not judging you. I'm explaining to you, you're an idiot. Why are you holding on to a rock and jumping into a volcano? It just makes you fall faster. I offer you something much more wonderful. We celebrate the mercy and love of God, and that's what motivates Paul, who, by the way, is locked in a prison awaiting death. All right? So these aren't cheap words. He writes the most uplifting letter in the New Testament in jail waiting to die. He cheers us on, literally in the sense of go get him, and also cheers us up. Like when you read this, it's just hard to be in a bad mood when you hear rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do that 50 times a day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. And I love this one. Stop worrying. Yeah, but did you see the news, Paul? Who cares about the news? They're getting ready to kill me. I'm in jail. What's going to be on the news that shakes me up? I'm about to die. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. Stop worrying. So the Christian mind, the mindset on Christ, is peaceful and joyful. It generates praise and thanks. So if you find yourself grateful, that means you're probably joyful. It is the worldly mind. It's the world's mind that surrounds us, which centers on fear and doubt, darkness and gloom. It's easily swept away by bad news. And it's easy to forget that the Lord is near. It's easy to forget we're in the kingdom. It's easy to forget we're in the kingdom. Jesus comes to judge the powerful who reject him, and he comes to feed the poor and defeat death. He calls us to the banquet. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And some of you, that Isaiah reading, you've been in this church. The time we read that reading the most is at funerals. He will wipe away every tear. He will defeat death. So tell me again what's on the news that got you shaken up. Right? He will defeat death. Rejoice in the Lord. Always again, I say rejoice.